Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are halfway through the month of June. Bing. That's all it takes.
Yep. It's the first time people ever probably heard the word Bing in a long time. Anybody using that search engine, you think?
I use it.
You do?
On this machine, this is the default.
And you don't want to change it?
It's kind of different.
Yeah. Kind of gives you a different searches.
Yeah, I don't get as much Hillary stuff.
Maybe I'll switch just because of that.
Yeah, might be worth your while.
Yeah. Well, this episode is sponsored by YesToBitcoins.com. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. And in fact, have you been watching Bitcoin, the price of the is it a currency or whatever it is? Have you been watching that?
No.
I'm going to look at this right now.
Last time I saw it was at 444.
Bitcoin price. Do a little search here. Bitcoin what was it before?
Last time I looked, it was at 444.
682.
Oh, wow.
682. Wow. That's pretty impressive. Retesting 680. What was it? What was the high? It was like 1,200?
It was way up there.
Yeah, it was way up there. Anyway, so Bitcoin's with all of the things that are going on around the world, with the fact that we're seeing markets get a little bit concerned and bugged about this whole Brexit issue. I got to tell you, everything that I've been seeing, every headline is all about this Brexit. And maybe I could start. Maybe I'll start using Bing, and I won't see as much of that either. Like you don't see as much Hillary, but it's overwhelming, isn't it?
Well, this was to be expected, even though the American media doesn't talk about it as much as they could. It's a huge deal. It's a big deal, this Brexit, and the vote is being promoted as though they're going to vote to leave. I personally don't see it happening. I don't care what the polls or anybody else says. They are going to not allow this to happen. Especially the banking sector, they love things the way they are, and the banks are run England pretty much out of the city of London.
But what's going to happen? I mean, this is a problem for what? I mean, it's a problem for decoupling the financial institutions that work together and have cross-border relations, and it's going to be problems for, I guess, is it going to be a problem for cross-country movement from an immigration standpoint?
Yeah, that will be minimized. That should actually be affected.
So what's the big deal? I mean, it's not like they're on the euro itself in terms of currency, but is it just because – what's the big deal?
They don't like being told what to do by Brussels. It's just that simple. There's all these rules and regulations being manufactured by the thousands almost on a daily basis out of the bureaucrats in Brussels about how to do this, how to do that, how to pick up your garbage, how to bend your knees when you pick up something heavy. I mean, pretty much everything you can imagine is being ruled upon by the central agencies. And the Brits, I think, are getting a little tired of it. And then they have to pay all this money to these a lot of people that are on welfare that are from they have a lot of Polish workers coming in. There's a lot of little minor things. Their fishing industry, they've had to kind of scrap it because the EU has made these determinations about how much fish they could take out of their own waters. It's a whole bunch of things. It's like it's endless complaining.
Yeah, but the big issue also is the reason why markets don't like it is because it creates problems with cross-currency trade and the financial system. That's the two things that really markets are focused on, right?
I would think.
Yeah. Anyway, so we have that going on in the background. We had the Fed meeting that's going on right now, Tuesday and Wednesday. The Fed is coming out with a rate decision tomorrow at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I believe it is. And then they're going to have a press conference afterwards. And I was thinking, markets have a way, we talked about this, how they kind of, it seems like they are programmed to pressure the Fed to do what they wanted to do, which is obviously to leave more stimulus on and low rates for an extended period of time.
Or lower the rate.
Yeah. So do you think that this is just a market tantrum that is ahead of all this saying, hey, you know what? Listen, let me just show you what is going to happen if you do anything.
Well, I think that's a good theory.
Because it seems that so many times ahead of the Fed meetings, there's or any of these big things that go on, it seems like there's a tendency for markets to get a little bit more volatile. And clearly, obviously, is because people are moving in and out of positions, trying to get themselves, you know, jockeyed just right for whatever's going to happen. But it seems a little bit much. I mean, the volatility in currencies right now. I mean, the European markets. We talked about Deutsche Bank. We talked about Credit Suisse and Santander. Deutsche Bank is below its 2009 again and below that last time we talked about it.
Hmm.
And CS is looking pretty horrible as well. And that's pretty amazing considering all this is going on. Now, one of the things that happened today was, for the first time ever, the 10-year German bond, the benchmark bond in Germany, cut below 0%, went negative.
Oh, negative.
Yep. Now, the big question is, why is that happening? Is it because people are so nervous that they're willing to say, you know what, here's my money, I'm willing to pay you to hold it for me? And is that why, by the way, a long way around, back to why Bitcoin is picking up steam so incredibly?
Oh, that's an interesting connection. I like it.
You know, it's all of this that I think there's such a lack of faith in the central banks these days with their negative interest rate moves, with their pressuring markets to do what they want. And it's kind of like it's over the top, which is, by the way, back to a longtime theory of yours, which stated that the next market catastrophe is going to be created and the catalyst will be central bank actions. That was all you.
When?
You don't remember that?
When was this?
You talked about this several... We about a year ago, we said, what will be the next catalyst that will cause markets to, you know, go into a tailspin, a major tailspin, not just a 4% or 5% correction. And you said it was going to be central bank actions. And I said it was going to be because of the lack of faith in technology, where we have all these hackers and people are just going to say, oh, I'm not dealing with this stuff anymore. And all of a sudden we're going to see a shutdown of...
Yeah, that your theory there was pretty far out.
Yeah. Well, all right.
The bankers, that's an easy thing to blame, you know, for anything. They're, what's in their best interests? And setting up shop in a situation where you have negative interests, where they get to get paid to hold the money. They've been working on this forever. I mean, they have all these charges yep. and little fees and this and that. And now it's just like, here we go. Let's just collect money.
It's backfiring. Oh.
Well, it's not working necessarily.
Well, it's not working with the central banks having negative interest rates. It was supposed to bring down the price of or the value of the currency in Japan and Europe. It's not doing that.
If that's what their goal was, yeah, you're right. It's backfiring. But I've never been convinced that their goal is really transparent. Who knows what their goal is?
That's a mouthful right there. That's the point, isn't it? It's very hard to determine what the heck these guys are thinking. It's like, well, if it doesn't work, we'll just try more of it.
Well, there was also the moment when Goldman Sachs was telling all of its investors, all of its people that trusted Goldman Sachs to invest heavily in the real estate, when it was selling like crazy on the back end, kind of a pump and dump on a highest level, at the highest level ever. And so I don't know. I don't trust these guys. I mean, they're just schemers.
Yeah. We saw that retail sales in May came in slightly better than expected, but kind of nothing. I mean, it was better, but it's not like it was a 5% increase. It was, you know, 0.3, 0.4. Meanwhile, remember Neiman Marcus? Have you shopped there at all lately?
I probably haven't been in a Neiman Marcus for probably 2 years, maybe longer.
Yeah, as my wife calls it, needless markup. U.S. luxury retailer Neiman Marcus reported its third straight quarterly drop in sales in established stores and nearly an 81% fall in profits amid a slowdown in apparel spending.
Well, 81%. I know out here Nordstrom has kind of replaced Neiman Marcus as the luxury seller.
Mm-hmm.
Because Macy's is in the game and there's other retailers involved, but Neiman Marcus is always the high end. And there's a Saks. Saks is also up there. But Nordstrom somehow has gotten the mind share, I think, of all this type of retailing. And most of these stores all carry the same stuff nowadays, the way they're organized. So you just go to your favorite.
Yeah. Well, I find it pretty amazing how profits and sales have slowed down so incredibly in the higher end retail. I mean, the question still remains.
Isn't that supposed to be economy proof?
It's supposed to
be. These companies?
Yeah.
Yeah, the high end luxury items are a completely different game, and they're going to hang in there because people, you know, are doing this and that.
Yeah, it's going to be the things that you need that won't do
Coach.
Well. Yeah. But it's got to be something else, though. It's got to be a cultural change. Maybe it's in China what's going on. I don't know, but that's, I guess, not, maybe it's not even markets in China. But it's still, in the U.S., there is a absolute and clear slowdown in spending when it comes to these big box stores. I mean, did they all do a terrible job in marketing, or is it something else with the consumer that's going on that is, you know, maybe, listen, you have... over the years, a very big trend to more casual type of office attire.
Well, let's start with that.
Yeah.
When's the last, maybe in Florida? Oh, no, not Florida. Maybe in New York, they still wear ties.
Uh-huh.
You don't, if you're working in the Silicon Valley area, any of these big companies are billion-dollar companies, and you wear a tie?
Yeah.
To throw you out, to cut the tie with a pair of scissors. I mean, you do anything. You do not wear ties in California.
Right.
Especially in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm. No, it's amazing. I mean, it's the Macy's, the Dillard's, the Neiman in this case now, and it just goes on and on, not only in the U.S., but many of the stores that are in non-U.S. based, that are in Europe and, you know, China, Japan, just doing terribly. So I don't know if it's a... I really do think it's something. I don't think people are not buying clothes. I don't think people are not buying housewares. They're just not buying them from these places, and maybe not. Maybe they're saying, you know what? I don't need that $2,000 suit. Maybe I can get away with a $500 suit,
or no suit,
or no suit at all. Right? Exactly. Now the VIX. Well, you do follow the VIX, of course, and the VIX has been, you know, very tame. As a matter of fact, last week I was looking at them, I said, "Oh my gosh, it's back down to 13 and change." So I can't believe it's that low again. And lo and behold,
boom.
A few days later, up 50%. It was a high of about 21 today before it came back a little bit. So we're talking about 50% move in just several days, which is interesting because usually when you see these kind of spikes, these very quick and very dramatic spikes in the VIX, it is oftentimes close to a market bottom. Or at least a time when people have gone so far. The theory is that people have gone so far as to, oh my God, I'm going to pay any price to protect my portfolio.
I like the idea of a market bottom at 17,500 or whatever it is at the moment.
Right.
It's very funny.
Yeah, well, but at least, let me say it differently. Maybe it's a bottom to the rampant selling and the fear. I'm not saying 21 is a high number, by the way. 20 is about the average. 18, 19, right around there is the longer term average for the VIX. So 21's not high. It's high in this market environment where it seems that every single, every dip is bought. Even today, by the end of the day, the market was down 0.5% today or so. Small caps are down almost close to down 1% at one point. And the market just by the end of the day shot right back up. Followed oil most of the day. Oil, by the way, is back down to what, 47 and change?
47.84 at the moment.
47.84, which is a big drop, a pretty good drop from what it hit 51 last week, right?
Yeah, it's got to be settling back to normal. I think normal is around 45.
That's going to be, once we start getting back to the dropping stage where oil gets and stays under 50, you know, we start to see some of the flurry of concern again about many of these companies that maybe can't pay their bills due to the fact that their profitability has been really collapsed. It's going to be an interesting thing to watch. The second time around is usually a lot more difficult for companies when you see this kind of thing happening, when you see oil dropping, et cetera. You know, because
they should lose all hope.
Yeah. Speaking about no hope, what is with this LinkedIn purchase by Microsoft?
It's baffling to me.
It's $26 billion buy.
Yeah, which is very high for what, you know, this is essentially a networking company that has an algorithm that helps people, you know, hook up with, not hook up in the sexual sense, but hook up on
that'd be good. Be worth
kind of
more.
Business sense with each other, because you know him, he knows you, you know him, and you know him, and he knows him, and you know him. So why don't you guys link in, and we'll like put you in the same network. And so everyone's got these big business networks. So I got 5,000 on mine, and you know, I know a few of these people, but I don't get what Microsoft's got to do with it.
Well, I mean, Microsoft now has bought Skype, which. They had their what was their internal thing called, the internal chat.
I forgot what it is, but you're right. They had an internal version that was crap.
Right.
And they're doing their best to make Skype crap. But, yeah. You know, maybe not.
Yeah. Don't say that, because every time we talk badly about Skype, our connection goes. Yeah. So
who's
LinkedIn
listening?
LinkedIn is still down even after the 50% premium that Microsoft is paying for it. It's still down 13%. Year to date.
Hmm.
And there is a whole host of discussion about what is this going to do for Microsoft. Like, there is discussion by the CEO of LinkedIn that says, you know what, like, Microsoft is buying this, leaving us totally autonomous, and we're going to do our thing, etc., and nothing's going to change. Now, if that's the case, why would Microsoft bought them for so much of a premium? Because therefore, we know that their revenue has been very choppy. Stock is down from $230 or something like that. It was down to like $95 recently. And this is not a company that's on the upswing. It's kind of, you know, having competition to Facebook, which could be in the back of the minds of Microsoft. They want to somehow compete.
Yeah, you might be onto something with
Facebook
that.
There.
Yeah, that could be it.
You know, that could be the thing. Or it's not like they need the names and the list and the people, because they have that already. And the whole thing is really weird. Now, we know that Microsoft hasn't had the best track record with acquisitions.
No. You know? No, they have a poor track record with acquisitions, and they have a poorer track record with anything social.
Yeah, they're not like...
They have tried one social project after another. They all failed or died, just slowly died a miserable death. Not sure what they're thinking. They don't have what it takes to do these things. Probably the wisest thing they... did was say that they're going to let the thing sit alone as a standalone, and they just own it.
I still
hope that, for the best.
Yeah, you know, let's buy that company and see what just happens. $26 billion, all cash, and I don't know. I don't think there'll be any antitrust issues.
It may
with
also
this.
Be a defensive move. It may be something they did because they think Apple was going to do it, or Google was going to do it, or somebody was going to do it.
Now, does this
so
take?
They did it.
Does this take Salesforce? You know, one of the big things that Salesforce has been riding on, besides the fact there's good revenues, good earnings, and all this good stuff, and more seats are being sold, and all the great things about Salesforce, is that they were potentially going to be a buyout candidate, and Microsoft was the suitor. That's been the story for a long time. Does that take that concept out of the realm of possibilities?
I don't think it's the same kind of business at all. I mean, there are some elements to it, some social elements that are similar, but I don't think so. I think they can still buy Salesforce. Why wouldn't they want to? I mean, except for the fact that it's overpriced, and so is this.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a big premium.
I don't like to see these deals where you pay this outrageous premium when you could have bought it cheaper some time ago if you were thinking ahead and you want to buy high and sell lower. What are you doing? It doesn't make any sense to me, but they keep doing it. Yahoo's like the worst offender ever to do this sort of thing. But this is Microsoft used to be. Here's what's kind of interesting. Microsoft used to be seen as a cheap tightwad when it came to this. And the most expensive thing they ever bought was $600 million for web TV. This web TV thing they had.
Oh, I remember it
was like
that.
That was their big, that was holy mackerel. How can they afford that? And it was another one. And it died on the vine. It didn't do anything. And then they started getting more aggressive and buying more and more stuff. But they were always seen as cheap tightwads when it came to acquisitions. But I don't see any evidence of that anymore. It's not even in their DNA to be cheap. They just throw $25 billion at something.
I guess they figured they could just go out and float some more bonds and bring some more cash in or something. I mean, it's cheap enough money these days.
Yeah, maybe that's it. And I mean, cheap money, spend a lot.
Right. Worst comes to worst, they'll just write it off as a big expense, somehow prop it up in one of their, through a few quarters. But Microsoft was not, the shares weren't too happy about it when this happened. Now, Twitter, on the other hand, surged on this report, thinking that, I guess, wow, somebody's buying that piece of crap. Maybe they'll buy us too.
Yeah, it makes it look like a short to me.
Twitter?
What's Twitter doing it as we speak?
It was up about 5.5% today, about 4% yesterday after this news. And the news that Twitter, now this is baffling. They invested $70 million into SoundCloud. Now, SoundCloud, as they call it, a streaming music service or a streaming music site. Basically, people just throw stuff up there and you can listen to it for free.
A lot of podcasts are posted there.
Yeah. And so SoundCloud, $70 million investment by Twitter. Now, tell me, I guess I just don't see it. Where is the synergy?
I have no idea.
I mean, basically what you're doing, what are you buying when you're buying SoundCloud?
It's a network of people, or they can get people to tweet, and point at the SoundCloud for, it's almost like their photo thing. You know, Twitter lets you post photos and they host them.
How hard would it be if you wanted to create, for whatever reason, a streaming music site that, or a streaming site where people could just upload things, et cetera?
Well, let's put it more bluntly. How hard would it be to clone SoundCloud?
Yeah, I don't.
That's what you want to ask.
Do you think it would be $70 million?
No, I don't even imagine it being more than a million.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be more like, I would actually probably, you could do it in the tens of thousands of dollars. It's not a outrageously advanced site by any means.
Right.
I mean, there may be something, some social part of it that I'm not unaware of, because it does have social elements, but this is not a rocket science thing.
Yep. It's baffling to me because I just don't understand. Unless there's something to do with the Periscope, which, by the way, Twitter finally put the Periscope, the integrated Periscope into Twitter. So now if you have your mobile app, I may be online too, but mobile app, and you
look, you want to stream.
You want to stream. For whatever reason, you want to
see. I don't see the connection between that and SoundCloud unless they want to. I don't see it, period. Yeah. Unless they're going to do video player. But, and then again.
And what? But that's all you need is a server for that, though. You don't need a whole platform for $70 million.
I agree. I'm stunned by this.
Yeah. Okay, Apple had their Worldwide Developers Conference this week, and it was not exciting.
It was a snooze fest.
The guys come out. You know what I find fascinating? It is so, I find it getting old. The whole garb that they wear, the guys, they come out with their same outfits on every time they come on the stage, or at least an outfit that has the same look, like one guy with his shirt out, a baggy shirt out
look,
and one guy with the slicked back hair and the sweater, and then one with the jeans and not the turtleneck, because that would have been too Steve Jobs thing, but yet kind of close to that. They all have the same look every single time they come out. I don't know if it's obviously purposefully done to maybe create consistency, but at the same time,
I find that actually hard to believe.
What do you don't think it's planned?
I really, you'd have to say, what you're saying is they have an art director to make people look like slobs. It just doesn't make sense to me. Oh, no, your hair. Oh, and there's always the one guy with the messed up hair.
Yeah.
Let's say, Bill, can you come over here and mess up this guy's hair a little more? He doesn't seem to know how to do it right.
But if it's not that they have an art director doing that, that means they don't have an art director for these performances. It's a performance.
I agree. It's a performance, but it's always the same look. I mean, maybe they have an art director. I mean, they should have an art director. They got the money for one, and there's no reason they wouldn't have one. But I just get the feeling it's a cookie cutter, and they just let guys come out dressed any way they want. I think it's be free sort of thing that you get in Cupertino.
Mm.
I mean, Tim Cook, who would normally look a little more like Steve Jobs and a little slicker, He looked terrible. He's wearing like a blue shirt or something and white T-shirt. I don't know. It was just a horrible look that was not, it was definitely not CEO-ish.
Right.
It was just kind of slob casual, which is pretty much what all these things are like.
And then, but the same thing with Microsoft. When Nadella comes out, he wears like the same outfit every time.
Oh, he's the worst. He's worse than anybody at Apple.
Right.
Yeah. He looks like a guy that he's wearing a tight fitting shirt. He's skinny, so it does. It's not flattering by any means. And he's terrible. He doesn't look CEO-ish in the least. He looks terrible.
Right.
And then every Microsoft guy who comes out looks worse.
Well, yeah. Well.
This is the reason, by the way, IBM used to have a dress code. So everybody had to look IBM-ish. They had to wear the blue,
the white, and the blue, the
navy blue top, the white shirt, the certain tie, a regimental tie, and all the rest. And then one day, years and years ago, I was actually at this event. Microsoft dropped the dress code, killed it. Mm. So at this event, nobody would look like IBMers at all. They all look like kind of slobs from Silicon Valley. And I went to this event. And I watched these guys, these IBMers go up and down off the stage, on and off the stage. And I said to myself, now I know why they have a dress code, because these guys can't. I'm surprised their socks were the same color. They look like a bunch of bums. And the dress code was necessary to keep these guys, you know, from save them from themselves. And now it's just completely out of control. I'm not that I'm a big clothes horse or some fashion icon, that's for sure, but I'm not up there on these stages as the CEO representing a company dressed like that. It just makes no sense to me.
Yeah. You would think that it's like with anything else. It's these days, anything goes. And maybe it's part of the current culture where an unkempt beard and hairstyle and look is cool. And it's bleeding up into, because everybody wants to be working with the millennials. And if you, you know, you put a suit and tie on and get up there, the millennials are not going to, they're going to be like, oh, I guess they think, oh my God, if we do that, we'll never sell another iPhone. You know, they want to.
I guess. I mean, millennials actually have some sort of dress. They have enough of a dress code, a subtle dress code amongst themselves, that they're identifiable, especially the hipsters, as such.
Mm-hmm.
You see one, well, that's a hipster. And it's not, you know, it's definitely a look that they achieve. So there is some conformity there. This is out of control, what you're describing.
Yep. Well, let's talk about some of the things that happened, some of the exciting things that happened. Mac, there's going to be a new OS, which is going to feature a universal clipboard for copying and pasting across devices. Yep. Exciting. One of the things I never understood, why there wasn't a built-in clipboard that had a memory function of this last, let's say, 25 clips. You have to put that into your Mac or into your Windows operating system with an add-on. Because I find myself going back and forth, clipping a few different things and wanting to paste them after the fact instead of going one at a time. Don't you do that?
Yeah, absolutely, and I think it's important.
And they don't. I don't know why they don't have it. Maybe now they will. They're going to have when you save your files on your desktop, you can download them on your iPhone and iPad. Okay. Apple Pay for web on the Mac OS, and you can have Siri on the Mac. So now you can be talking to your computer like an idiot. So now you can get right up into your screen and talk into the screen really loud.
I think Cortana's been on the desktop for a while.
Yeah. Do you use Cortana?
Mm-mm.
No. I see it in the corner. Says, I click it every once in a while.
I don't see why am I going to use it?
I don't understand the whole thing either. I could type just as fast and say something.
All I know is it's just another microphone in the room listening to everything you say.
Right. Now on the TV, there's 1,300 video channels on the Apple TV, which means there's 1,300 channels of nothingness to watch. They're going to have some sports games.
I'd like to
know
what these channels are.
I don't know where 1,300 comes from, because on the I don't even know what that is. I don't know what that means, because when you look at the Apple TV, from what I can see, there's maybe a few dozen or maybe 50, maybe. I don't know, 1,300 video channels. They're going to feature Sling TV with many cable channels, Dish and Netflix. Let's see here. You can introduce a TV remote application. You could change channels from an iOS device without reaching for your Apple TV remote, which, by the way, they have already. I don't know. I thought I've seen that before. They're going to feature, this is.
So instead of grabbing the Apple TV remote and pushing a button, I grab my iPhone and then I swipe it to get it open. I put the password in.
Yeah.
I swipe here and I swipe there. I find the app. Yeah. I click on the app, right, and then I punch the numbers in.
Right.
That's convenient.
Yeah. Exactly. And if you're on the phone, you just can't change channels. Talking to somebody, nope, sorry, you have to, hold on, I'm changing the channel. Apple TV will feature dark mode. You know what this is? This is so stupid.
I didn't know this.
So the new Apple devices on the new OS have what's called dark mode, because at night, it's difficult to have a glaring white, bright screen that you're looking at. So what they do is they turn the hue to more of a, we'll call it a, not yellow, but a yellowish, off-white, muted, so that it's easier on the eyes.
So this is similar to what the Google does with your maps. When you access them at night, they go into a night mode.
That's a night mode for maps. Yeah, something like that, so it's easier to see. But this isn't as dark as black and white, or inverted, if you will, like on maps. This is just a, what would it be like? It's like there's a filter, like there's antique filter over the screen. So it looks like kind of a little darkish.
Yeah, I think TVs have been doing this forever.
I did that, by the way. I turned it on for one night and I turned it right off. Couldn't take it anymore. On the watch, there's a new, the new watch is going to accelerate application launch time. It has a dock feature for recently used apps on the watch, which is great, because you have a dock and you can't, on that little bitty square thing, I don't know where it's going to go. You have a feature, reply to message without tapping the reply screen or the reply button, and will allow users to write on the screen. Now, let me ask you, how in the world are you going to write on that little screen?
I have no idea. I guess you have to, I don't know.
This was the big announcements.
Yeah, I heard, yeah, I saw that. I just, who wants to use it that way? Not me.
Yeah. You know what the one thing they missed, as usual? That now they're coming out with an Apple Watch, which will be waterproof down to 30 feet. Now, I don't know about you, but that would seem, or even in the shower, for God's sakes. I don't know why they can't make these devices, with the lack of buttons that they have, why they can't make these things waterproof. I just don't understand. It's like not even on any of the boards that in their offices to be like, okay, sometime in the future we're going to be trying to make this waterproof. It's like they don't even talk about it.
The funny thing is, if you remember, there's some company, I think they still exist, I've never followed up on this, but there was a company that would waterproof all these devices. You drop it into some bath of I don't know, some polymer of some sort, and it would seal the thing so it would be perfectly waterproofed. It's a treatment. It's like a treatment for the phone. And that seemed to work. I think I've seen demos of it. You could see it at trade shows. It'd be an iPhone or one of these phones sitting in a fish tank, and it was going through its thing. I don't know whatever happened to that technology.
You would think that with Microsoft buying LinkedIn for $26 billion, Apple could cough off $2 billion to buy the rights to this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it seems like, guys, come on. I mean, that would be, I don't know. Just the whole thing is very frustrating with the watch idea of not being, that was a major deal breaker for me when it first came out, was that it wasn't waterproof. Not that I really want.
Well, they actually would hope that it gets damaged.
Yeah, maybe.
You get to sell more. I mean, somebody probably did a study on this. Why are we going to waterproof it?
Yeah, because we declined. No, but now, at least on the iPhones, the new insurance covers water damage. It used to not. It's like, oh, you're water damaged. Everything was water damaged. And they put that little light on the thing. Remember that little light? They look inside the bottom and like, yes, you have water damage. Like, really? With that little light, you can tell? But anyway, listen, some other big news. This is big news, actually. So last year, the MSCI, which is a Morgan Stanley Capital International. Is it Morgan Stanley? I think it's Morgan Stanley Capital International. This is a firm that creates a lot of indices in terms of the structure of the indices. And there's the MSCI Emerging Markets, MSCI, Far East and Asia, and MSCI, you know, all these different indices, right? Developed nations. And so one of the things they do is they create the overall index. And by creating the overall index, a lot of hedge funds, institutional managers benchmark their performance to these indices, and as such need to oftentimes have inclusion of whatever the index has inside of their particular investment. Got me so far?
Yep.
Okay. So about a year ago, China's like, hey, pick me, you know, our A shares. We want to be included in this because obviously if they do, they can garner a lot of outside money to be invested in the shares. So what happened was that, of course, China did that devaluation and that kind of threw things into a little bit of a tizzy. And MSCI said, you know what, you guys, you got to get control of yourselves. You got to have better overall market controls. And, you know, you can't let your currency get crazy and start devaluing, doing all these things. You really need to get yourself together, tighten it up, button up the whole deal. And we'll clamp down and we will consider you again. Now, after that fact, that's when China had that major market roil where they had the, the market closed after a 7% drop and all that?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they didn't really get ahead of the whole thing too well. So the vote on inclusion for China shares was today. And you know what? They were declined again. Second time.
I'm glad they're declining them. They should be declined. They're not really doing a very good job of it.
Right. So they said that MSCI said that China has made significant steps. However, even though they're getting closer to international standards, they said that the extensive global consultation that Beijing had not addressed all of the concerns over barriers to foreign investors. And now they'll look at it again back in forward into 2017 sometime.
Well, there was just a big meeting recently in Beijing with a whole bunch of foreign operations and countries to get them to loosen up on some of their restrictions, especially the Americans apparently got the best part of the deal. We got to be able to invest now without so many restrictions. But the Europeans are still irked by these guys. So I don't know.
Yep. Well, we mentioned Bitcoins earlier, and we mentioned that Bitcoins are on fire and incredible. If hopefully you own some and you've been going through some of these, hopefully you don't own it at 1200, maybe you bought some at 300. But the big question is, how do you spend these things? So you can use your Bitcoins to get gift cards for stores in North America, Europe, Asia at yestobitcoins.com. Now, it turns out, I asked this gent who is the owner of this site, who is sponsoring our shows. I said, you know, how did it go? You know, what's the story with our, you know, you put the sponsorship last week and all that. He said, you know what? It was unbelievable. He said he got, you know, a really good turnout and a lot of people went over and a lot of people are obviously very interested in this. I guess there's been no place. And this is a
people
company.
Have been, right. Yep. I think, yeah, he's probably got a good idea here. I if he wanted to sponsor some more shows, maybe he could answer the question I have. I have a question, which is the card. Do you buy the card and is the Bitcoin turned into money or is it still Bitcoin on the card and it gets turned into money after you use the card, allowing you to take advantage of an upswing in the value of the Bitcoin?
So the question is, make sure I understand this, is that when you buy let's say it's an Amazon gift card with, let's say, with one Bitcoin, let's just say one Bitcoin worth.
Yeah, one.
Okay. Is it staying in Bitcoin currency or is it converted into your local currency, we'll say, at that point?
Right.
If it's converted into your current currency, therefore, that's it. You're done. You go spend your money. If it's in Bitcoin, you're saying, well, maybe I could ride the Bitcoin valuation. I think they converted to current currency.
Okay.
That's why there's different ones for North America, Europe, and Asia. See, that's why there's all different ones.
Well, there could still be different ones if it was still hanging in there as a Bitcoin.
Right.
And only when you cashed out your Bitcoin, you would get it in yen in the Japanese card, or you'd get it in won in the Chinese card, or you'd get it in dollars after you used it.
Right, I got you. Well, we can ask the question, but you can go over to yestobitcoins.com, and I'm sure there's an FAQ section on there, and you can find out all the stores that are available to actually utilize where you can take your Bitcoins and you can buy gift cards and find the answers to John's question. But I think, nonetheless, whatever it may be, whether you're going to try to ride it with the opportunity to have the Bitcoin or if you're going to, in fact, be converted, either way, you're still able to now very easily use your Bitcoins at various vendors. And that's the cool thing about this. YesToBitcoins.com.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Done.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the closest to the pin competition.
Aren't you going to talk about the Samsung device that you...
No, we talked about it last time. That's a remnant. We could talk about how much we hate it again.
Yeah, never mind. But you had some new news. No, they're going to have a red one.
Yeah, we really panned that one last week, didn't we? In the ear. Fitbit, speaking about devices, we have a winner, but we have an interesting situation that happened here. Now, this is a game that we play throughout the time with the show, and we have various stocks where we pick a date that is going to be the final date for the price. And John, myself, we pick a price that we think it's going to be. We use all of our different tactics to find out, and we compete against you, and you compete against us, and the winner gets a prize. Well, the winner of this Fitbit is very interesting. His name is Robert S., and he came in one penny. All right, guys, always come in one penny away from the final stock price of $14.10. The average guess was $14.29. You had $13.80. Probably needed one more day on that. I had $14.01, so we were pretty close. But what's interesting is Robert S. was also tied with Warren S., probably his brother. But the rule is that the first person who has that price is the winner. The earliest entry.
That's the tiebreaker.
Yep, that's the tiebreaker. We had to come up with something some time ago because when we were creating this, it's like, okay, well, what happens if five people have the same price? So Robert S. was in early, so this gives everybody the incentive to make sure to put your guesses
don't
in.
Dilly-dally.
Yeah, exactly. So he wins a DH Unplugged Rare Edition T-shirt. So yeah, we'll get the information. Yeah, we'll get the information out to you. Or Robert, you can send me your at if you're listening. Robert S., I'll send you an email, and you'll tell us what your shirt size is. I'm running out of the larges. Should have gotten more large.
That's pretty typical.
Yeah, I got a lot more larges than when we bought it. We got a lot more larges than the other sizes, but I don't think we've had any smalls at all. We have a large audience, so to speak.
A couple of mediums would be a good idea.
Exactly. Next week, or this current week, is running right now is Biogen. And let me take a look at this here for a second. I think Biogen is, let me see. Yeah, Biogen, the current price is $241. The closing date for entries is the 17th, which is this Friday. So if you want to get your guess in on Biogen, I don't know if I got yours. Wow, look at that stock. It looks horrible.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, maybe give it to me. That looks horrible. Yeesh.
That Biogen one's going to be a rough go.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, we have in our things that we do here in the belly of the show, as we call it, we have the old Codgers portfolio versus the millennials. And it is not only a neck and neck, the old Codgers are slightly ahead.
It's about time.
Slightly ahead, about as of the end of today. When I wrote this earlier today on this piece, it was neck and neck. But old Codgers, by the end of the day, they got the winning number. So there you go. All right, going on to some more news. So I thought this was interesting, and I think you follow this more than I do, but the two largest daily fantasy sports companies, FanDuel and DraftKings, are in early stages to merge. Now,
yeah, that makes sense.
I don't understand this. I don't get it.
They're pretty close to being the same company already.
Yeah, but aren't they? Isn't this whole thing dead?
Yeah, probably. But it's like satellite radio. I mean, they had two companies that were actually, there may have been a third. It was less known. But there were two companies, Sirius and XM, and they never could make money because it's just not possible because of the overhead. And so I thought they were dead all the time, and they are still in business and as a merged company. So I suppose this is possible.
But the difference was that XM and Sirius weren't banned.
Oh, well, there's that. Yes,
that's that little.
Weren't banned.
Yeah, they weren't
this
banned.
This is correct.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I overlooked that little factor.
So these companies are going to get together. They're both going to spend money. Maybe it's because, you know what? As one company, they only have to spend one set of monies on the legal defense, maybe?
Maybe.
Because it's kind of crazy. Maybe they're bleeding so badly, the two of them, they're figuring, let's just put it together and be done with it. So FanDuel and DraftKings. Okay. Now, another story, interestingly enough, I'm sure you would have never guessed something like this happens, by the way. This is probably something that is furthest from the mind of anyone who listens to our show. A Goldman Sachs executive footed the bill for prostitutes, and the bank paid for a lavish trip to Dubai for the brother of a decision maker in Libya's sovereign wealth fund. The case has been brought against Goldman in London's High Court.
Nah, yeah, that's interesting. You'd never think something like that was possible. Some of these crazy bankers.
Yeah, who would think that they'd bring in prostitutes, drugs, and all sorts of lavish trips to Dubai in the hotel suites. In the presidential suite. I guess we got to bring this up. The sad situation where, close to 50, I guess 50 people were killed in Orlando. There's two issues in Orlando this weekend. We had the singer from the 22-year-old singer that was...
Yeah, she fell by the wayside after the second event.
Yep, exactly. And the other one. What was really fascinating was that this was amazing. Chick-fil-A was open on Sunday in Orlando to cook up hundreds and hundreds of chicken sandwiches and batches of the sweet tea for, people in Orlando to help them through the situation.
Oh, that's a publicity stunt. Yeah. Noteworthy.
I have mixed emotions about this. On one hand, they're a very religious group and they're doing good things and doing, I guess, God's work and all this and opening on a Sunday, but they never opened up on a Sunday. And I just don't, if it is a publicity stunt, that's kind of.
And they're supposed to be anti-gay. That's the real irony.
Are they?
Chick-fil-A, isn't it?
Yeah, Chick-fil-A, I guess.
Yeah, they didn't have a big stink because they wouldn't hire. There was some stink. This was another publicity stunt they did some time ago about the two gays kissing in front of the place. And then there was I don't remember much of the details because I always saw it as a publicity stunt, so I didn't pay that much attention to it. And all I know is that if you go to New York City and go to the Chick-fil-A, it's got a line around the block. Hmm. More Chick-fil-A, the line is longer there than it is for Shake Shack. And I should mention that I did, when I was in New York last time, I didn't mention this on the show, but I went and checked out the Shake Shack.
Oh?
Yeah, I didn't you get didn't to order anything because there was a line.
Mm. You didn't tell them who you were?
Do you know who I am? What would you like?
Yeah, I just didn't want to wait in line. Yep. Well, I don't blame you. It's not that
There's
great.
A bunch of these burger joints that are all over the place. There are a lot of them in the Bay Area of these gourmet burgers. And they're, instead of being a In-N-Out burger price, which I think is $2.55 or something like that for a regular cheeseburger, they start at around $5 or $6 and go up to $10, $12, $20 for a burger. And
that's a little absurd.
Well, since if you think about making a burger yourself, which is not that hard to do, you can get some outstanding meat. You can get elk, and you can make yourself and get some nice quality bun from some bakery rather than one of the big, bread companies. You could have a pretty high end burger right there for not that much money.
Right. Take two patties and two big fat patties, and put a big stick of butter right in the middle with garlic, and just push it together and barbecue it that way.
Oh God.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, well, some people are putting cheese now inside the
burger. Yeah, that's a big thing. Cheese in the burger. Yeah. Nothing like a hot cheese to burn your lips as you're biting into a burger.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
It's like you get that pizza mouth, but now you got burger mouth.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. Yeah. You have a hot cheese oozing out into your tongue.
Yeah. Let's see here. Nuclear. I thought nuclear was banned. Any new nuclear facilities were banned. It seems that the Tennessee Valley Authority's Watts Bar Unit 2 was connected to the power grid on June 3rd, becoming the first nuclear power plant to come online since 96.
I think it's because this thing, they started building it a decade ago and they grandfathered it in.
It takes a decade to build these things?
It takes an awful long time to build them because we don't have any, in the United States, we don't have a standardized facility like they do in France, for example. In France, the nukes are all exactly the same. They have the same control rooms. People can go from job to job, and they pretty much operate like each other. Ours are all custom made, one of a kind, and it's ludicrous. And it takes a decade to build one of them. I don't know if I'm correct about the exact time, but it's nothing that just goes up. That's for sure.
Huh?
It takes forever.
Wow. Well, it is taking forever. So what do you think about Soros and Icon now? You know, they were very pessimistic. We talked about Icon being 150% short. You think they're right or think they're going to be trampled on?
Well, there's a lot of variables. I think they could be right if the Brexit takes place and everyone panics. They can get a short-term moment where they get out of these investments. They can, you know, they can drop, you know, they can get out of the short position.
Mm-hmm.
They may, if that happens. If it doesn't happen, I think they're totally screwed. If the Brexit doesn't take place, and no agenda, we talk about the Brexit, and we've determined that the Brexit is may or may not pass. I don't think it will. But if it does, they're just going to do a do-over.
Mm.
Because that's the way these guys operate, the way the EU operates. So the do-over.
The vote was no good. There were some problems with the vote.
There'll be something.
Yeah.
But if it passes, whether they do a do-over or not, I think the market will downward correct and get these guys out of their positions and get them off the hook,
huh.
I think.
Yeah,
I could be wrong. I don't know why they're so short. They should be short next year.
Mm. It appears that Russian hackers hacked the DNC, and they took information related to the files and research that the DNC did on Trump. I wonder if they're going to try to sell that to Mr. Trump.
I don't know, but I get the sense that Trump and the Russians will get along fine.
Yeah, well, yeah, two peas in a pod.
And I don't know. There's a rumor... Or there's a belief, I don't know if it's exactly a rumor, but there's a belief that the Russians, and there's no reason not to believe this, the Russians had hacked Hillary's server, and they have all those missing emails.
Well, somebody has them at least.
And so, yeah, right. Somebody's got them.
Yeah.
And there may be an October surprise involving these things.
Wow. You think the Russians want Trump in? Or that maybe the Russian hackers?
I would think the Russians would want Trump, yeah.
Oh.
If they had a choice, I think they would want Trump because as somebody pointed out to me, Hillary's, all her advisors in foreign policy and all the rest of it are all these warmongers. They're all the guys who hate the Russians. So I don't think the Russians want to deal anymore with the sanctions and all the misery they're getting put through.
Well, before we get to the stocks, the DH Unplugged stocks, the stock picks, our review of them, of course, you can track those over on dhunplugged.com. You can also follow John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak on Twitter, myself, Andrew Horowitz. Listen to No Agenda Show twice weekly with Adam Curry and the Disciplined Investor Podcast each and every week as well. We have to talk about this new restaurant that's being opened in London. The restaurant's called Bunyadi.
Yeah.
Which translates to, I'm not sure what language, but maybe it's Indian, naked restaurant. So once diners, 45,000 people already have put their names in on the waiting list to eat a meal here. Okay?
Okay.
Once the diners get inside and remove their clothes and relinquish their smartphones, they can choose between two different menus. A naked, quote unquote, naked non-vegan and naked vegan. The former features a goji berry steak tartare with stinging nettle oil and cured salmon with seaweed salad. And the latter features a sweet and salty forage plate and an asparagus dish with salted almonds, pickles, and red onions and melon. Both are about 69 pounds. And you also get a robe and slippers, I guess, in case maybe after dinner you want to take a walk or something outside. So, first of all, the menu is appetizers. And
all right, so it's a tapas place.
Tapas and topless, both at the same time, obviously, right? Why would I do this?
You wouldn't.
Oh, okay. Why would anybody do this?
They wouldn't.
But 45,000 people put in their reservations.
I think this is an example of somebody who's hired some outrageously good and talented PR people. This could all be lies.
The thought of going and waiting on people with old saggy old nastiness and being there in the restaurant with old people sitting on naked on
have
waiters stools.
You have to hire the blind.
I mean, this is just horrible. I mean, just the thought of somebody swaggering around, if you know what I'm saying, looking for the bathroom. The whole thing is foul. And then the whole thing. It's just disgusting.
And look at you. Somebody takes their shoes off at the airport and you're bent out of shape.
This is disgusting.
Just taking it to a new level.
You know, I have friends who go to some of these places like, I think it's called Hedonism, and a variety of these other nudist retreats or whatever you want to call them exactly. Yeah. Swingers joints and things like that. So they show me pictures sometimes, and they're like, you know, you love it, Andrew. I'm like, oh, really? Wow. It sounds like a great place.
Trying to sucker people.
And they show me the picture. I'm like, I don't want to see those people naked. I don't want to see. And I'm like, where are all the beauties? Where are all the beautiful people? And I guess, you know, not trying to
be someplace else.
By the way, I'm not going because I don't think people want to see me that way. You know, I don't. So I'm definitely not going. But
nobody's going. I don't know if this thing is going to be a short term thing. I don't know why anyone would go in their right mind. This reminds me of a couple of different restaurant ideas that have come and gone. The one where they turn the lights out.
Yeah, oh, we have that here too.
So you can't see your food. You know, you're blinded with no. You might as well be blind. You can't see your food, and they're supposed to do some bull crap. It's nonsense. I don't want to go to a restaurant so I can't see my food. Could be, you know, feeding me grubs.
I'm going to create a restaurant that doesn't have any food. and I want you to experience and just use all of your senses to imagine I'm going to have a menu, by the way, but I'm not going to serve anything. And you have to use your imagination to feel and taste and come up with what this would be like and how much, you know, this wonderful dish.
Yeah, it's probably but just as successful as this thing.
I'm taking reservations.
45,000 people currently on the wait list.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway. And by the way, my restaurant, the chairs are all going to be upward pointing nails.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm going to have upward pointing
nails. That's a thought.
Yeah. Upward pointing nails. And I'm going to actually, I'm going to have clamps on your nipples.
Mm.
Yeah. This is what I'm going to do. And you're not going to get, you're not getting any food.
You'll pack them in probably.
Yeah. Maybe. You're not getting food. So you're going to sit on nails and I'm going to clamp your nipples and you're not getting food. So if you want to come.
You might as well bring a dominatrix waitress and they'll just slap you around while you're sitting there.
This is going to be a great restaurant. What should we call it? Pain? Pain and pleasure?
There's a bunch of jokes I can come up with, but I think I'm going to refrain.
All right, let's take a look at the stocks we have over on DH Unplugged. This is right now, by the way, there's a bad word to say, but I'll say it. Adam Curry, if you're listening, there's a little bit of a glitch in the technology right now that's preventing some of the stocks from showing, but you'll go check those out. They'll be up tomorrow.
They'll be okay.
Yeah. You can take a look at those each and every week. We make some stock picks, or maybe not. And these are tracked. This is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security, of course. John C. DeBark, myself, and my Horowitz Company clients may own some of the securities. Those will be duly noted. And, of course, this is not anything you should do just because we're saying it. As a matter of fact, use professional financial advice and get a recommendation from an advisor who is competent, et cetera, et cetera. So, let's take a look at some of these. Why don't you go through if I can find my list here. Where's my list? Okay, why don't you go through what we have? We only have about five on there, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of them got killed, like C-Trip, whatever it is. C-Trip, the international. I don't even know what this is. I can't remember it.
Yeah, C-Trip is like Expedia in China.
Bank of the Ozarks is dead money right now. There's nothing going on. Express Inc., which is that. That was mine based on
the insiders. That was mine.
No, what the?
Express.
Yeah, Bank of the Ozarks.
Oh, yes. Saying. Yeah, that was good.
And then Tesla, which is you shorted.
It's back down already again. I would be actually positive on it now. It spiked up for whatever reason.
You got killed. You got killed.
Yep.
Yeah, Tesla's a strange investment. I don't care for the way it acts. Yeah, Express is up. That's yours. That's the triple bottom. That was a good call.
Mm-hmm.
And then National Instruments, nothing. That's mine. It was based on insiders. It's still in play. Solar Edge, which I think we just did, and it's out already. Yep. It got kicked off that.
Bing.
And then you also had Verifone, which is also down.
Verifone was actually up right after I bought it. I think it was, I bought it 1990 there. It was like at 22 or 21. It just,
It's still
missed.
In play.
Yeah, just missed.
It's not off yet. You haven't got kicked off.
Right.
The only good one here seems to me to be my pick last show, which was Advanced Auto Parts. I'm thinking buyout or something like that. And it's up. And if I was going to pick something out of the blue today, I'd double down on this.
Double down?
I'm not going to do it. But I would, because they're buying. They're still buying, these still, guys.
Wow.
So they're still buying into it. So it's going to help boost it. The only thing I have, if I wanted to pick something today, just to put something on here, I think I will short Twitter.
Oh. Just because, what, piece of crap?
Well, no, just because it's gotten, is riding the coattails of LinkedIn for no apparent reason.
Coattails. Is that coat? Is that C-O-A-T-T-A-I-L-S? Coattails?
I think so, yeah. Coat, C-O-A-T-T, two yeah. T's.
Coattails. All right, we got a short going in here. So let's put short. I don't have anything for this week. I was too consumed with trying to fix that darn problem this evening.
Oh, you may still be working on it.
Yeah, so short. Coattails, JCD. I mean, oh. Yeah, this is terrible. So remember I picked Smith & Wesson for the whole idea that, you know, into an election, the guns and all this stuff?
Right.
Right after this whole Orlando thing, it was up like 7% the next day.
Yeah, of course.
It was down 4% today.
This
but
is still, the way we operate in this country.
Yeah, there's a shooting.
Everyone outside the country can get, you know, over yourselves.
So let me have this it. Let me give you my theory. So people are saying, you know what? There's a big shooting. I'm going to buy a gun. That's pretty much the correlation,
that's
right?
That's logic, yeah.
What about sneakers? Because I don't know about you. I'm not getting a gun. I want a good pair of sneakers to run like hell.
Yeah, so that's shouldn't a good we get idea. Like that's a very, very famous Silicon Valley bear joke that involves sneakers.
Yeah, so there you go. We should be buying sneaker companies.
Yeah.
Which have been falling
down. Okay.
All right, anyway, that's about it for this show. Again, you can listen to John Dvorak and Adam Curry on No Agenda. And I think the voting is over. I don't know when we're going to find out if we won or not for the podcast awards. I guess we'll know pretty soon.
Is the voting over? I thought it was over at the end of the month.
I thought it was the 12th.
Over the halfway through?
I thought it was the 12th.
Oh, the 12th. Oh.
Which was last Friday.
Well, I'm going to assume that somebody's rigged up a bot and they're going to win with some, you know. I've not been impressed with, not all, I mean, some of these shows are good. Because I go through all the shows that were nominated to see if we can find something for our stream, because we have a stream that needs to be peopled with some shows. And most of the time we can't find anything. And we go through these shows and a lot of them are, you know, the same kind of like garage style of podcast that is lacks amount of professionalism.
Yeah, they're like 20 feet away from a microphone.
Or they're in a bucket. Yeah, that's the other thing.
I mean, you can't buy a microphone. It's, you got, you know, I don't know what people are thinking if they can. That I find it very difficult to listen to someone talking when they sound like they're on a speakerphone.
Yes, it's very bad. Yeah, it's hard to listen to them.
Hmm.
It's probably harmful.
They should have a category for production.
They do.
Where? No, they don't. Not the podcast
best
awards.
Produced.
Oh, there is a best
they
produced.
Have best produced podcast. Yes, they do.
I never saw that one.
And Adam is always irked by that he never gets it because he produces the No Agenda show and it's absolutely high production values and it's very professional sounding.
Yep, too bad.
And he doesn't even get nominated.
Mm, terrible. This boycott.
Well, no, these things are all what they
are.
Well,
maybe they're last year anyway because they didn't raise the money they needed to. They're looking to raise $25,000 to keep this whole thing going. They raised two.
Why do they need that much money?
He said it was a very expensive thing to run.
Huh.
That's what he said, and it's that's not anything he told me. That's on the website. There's a whole video he put out there about how he needs money, and he did a GoFundMe.
He probably needs money himself. He probably could use some payment for all the work he does. That's what I would think.
Well, maybe that's too, but he got $2,000.
That's all?
Yeah, $2,500 or something like that. Go look under the GoFundMe for podcast awards.
Huh.
It was embarrassing.
He'd probably hang in there.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost that much to do anything. He's just not going to get any money himself. I think that's what he's irked about.
Yep.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either. All right. Well, we're going to end it there, and we shall talk next week, and we'll see what happens. Today's the 14th. That will be the what? The 21st, 2 days before Brexit, but it will be a few days after we see what happens with the Fed, who will probably come in very dovish at this point. Should be an interesting couple of weeks coming up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree. Okay.
All right,
talk to you then.
All right, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.